Welcome, Patties. Welcome to Everything Under the Sun and How You Really Feel. Tonight we're going to be continuing Appearance of Paradise, Episode 7, Marriage Red Flag Continued. Stay tuned. Appearance of Paradise, Episode 7, Marriage, Red Flag, Continued. So we're getting acclimated, learning each other. We're married, living together, parole has been transferred. All is good so far, with the exception of the in-laws. My adult children accepted him. His son accepted me. His siblings, for whatever reason, unknown to the universe, 5 out of his 7 siblings did not care for me. Go figure. I always stated that was their issue, not mine, because they didn't know me. They didn't take the chance. They didn't take the time to know me, prejudge me because I didn't do the same things they did. And they said I thought I was better than they were. I did remain unbothered. His mother loved me. That's all I really cared about. She loved her some me. And I love me some her. As long as those 5 siblings were respectful and cordial, I can be the same and be in a room with you, whether you like me or not. Again, not my issue. They felt True was supposed to, after spending some decades incarcerated, come home and hang out with them. And live the same non-productive existence that they were living, chasing drinks and clubs. And a couple of them did a little more than that. So of course he chose us. That was the nail in the coffin for at least 2 of them. True come up and not sharing. Even though his siblings had been out here in this free world, doing what? Obviously, if you are looking for someone straight out of prison to help you come up in the world, that's a problem. What the hell were you doing out here? I kept my mouth shut, especially when it came to his siblings. Because it was only 5 months into the marriage when I encountered for the first time, was a witness and a victim of his rage. For real, who really uses that word anymore? Rage. But I don't know what else to write down. It was rage. Quick and powerful. His sister at that time, the one that I believe has struggles mentally, was missing. Now keep in mind, I mentioned True believed he was coming home from prison to the family he left behind. He forgot or didn't look past his own desires that people, as they continue to live, go through things. Shit happens. You never know what trauma someone has suffered. When True didn't come to that, when that's not what he came home to, that's when he was determined he was in an alternative universe and we were all crazy. Anywho, She was missing. And since he'd been gone all of those years and could not be the big brother from where he was, he attempted to put on his big brother cape. Well, that didn't work out too well because it's already resentment from five of them towards him. And to tell you the truth, he sucks at communicating. Really bad. Because he interrupts. He doesn't give a person a chance to finish a thought. And God forbid, don't ask a question. Because now, in his words, it seems to him what he's saying you believe is not right. Or you're questioning him, which is an absolute no-no. Don't do that unless you're me and going to ask anyway. So after attempting to be big brother, it was very apparent that he had alienated two or three of them because he's aggressive. I swear you wouldn't believe it by looking at him. The pretty smile, along with the yes ma'ams and yes sirs. Boy, if I hadn't experienced it, I'd think I was lying. Or at least be skeptical of what was said. That's a good thing, though, about technology. Audio recordings and video can be very helpful when in doubt. So True's sister remained missing for 3 days. He was mad every day for those 3 days. Not to the point of rage, but a little testy. Understandable testiness. So I didn't let it bother me. Friday night came. True wanted to go out. I guess it would make him feel better. I had introduced him to a club that he and I loved. I was game to go out. Anything to lift his spirits because we were 3 days in and his sister was still missing. We dressed. We went out. I thought we were having a good time. But he quickly let me know he no longer was. I don't know if it was us sitting there. You know, when we weren't dancing, we were sitting there drinking, him pondering, realizing he's there at his request, but we're there and his sister is missing. Okay, the last update on his sister was that she had caught a bus somewhere. They had a video of her getting on a bus. They were looking to see where the ticket was going to at that time that we were out. That was still unknown. So we do know that she struggles mentally. So he was very worried about her. I understood that. But now he was starting to get angry. He's sitting and thinking and stewing and drinking. Not a good combination when your sister is missing and you already are dealing with some things. Fresh out of prison. Heavy weight. It's not like, you know, you need to go get a pack of soup from somebody that owed you some money or something like that. You know, this is free world, real stuff. Prison is not real stuff. I'm just saying different kind of real stuff out here. So when I'm speaking to him, he's a little snappish, brooding, getting more drinks. So I said, I'll drive home which I drove most of the time anyway. I'll drive home. I'm ready to go because he was getting really liquored up. So as he's getting more intoxicated, his temper is also escalating. It's getting to that point, and I'm really now ready to go. So he gets upset with me because I'm ready to go. But still in my head, I understand why he's upset. He still hasn't crossed any lines or anything like that. He's just being nasty, rude, bordering on disrespectful. So we go out to my truck. Again, 5 months into the marriage. 5 months into the marriage. So we go out to my truck. I'm driving home. He's been drinking. I can't say that he was drunk. He was very much lucid, but he had been drinking, which loosens the tongue and anything else that needs to be loosened, I guess. But anyway, he got upset because I told him that he needed to slow down on the drinking, that I think he had had enough. Well, in my brain, that is just a wife saying, honey, slow down on the drinking. You had enough. Da 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 da. In his prison brain, he heard me controlling him, me telling him what to do. And that was absolutely not going to happen in True's world. Nobody told him what to do. Now keep in mind, I'm driving down the street. He's in the passenger side. And he's starting to yell now because he doesn't appreciate me making him look like a punk in the club. Now, no one heard when I was speaking to him. First of all, the music. You've been in a club. The music is way loud, way loud. You bend over and you speak to the people that you're at the table with, or you yell across the table. So, always leaned over. It's my man, my husband. I lean over, whisper in his ear. But still, whether you whispered it or not, he said, you're trying to tell me what to do. I don't need you trying to control me when I have other things that is going on. My sister is missing. He starts screaming at me and pounding on the thing above, above the glove compartment, starts pounding on that and screaming that I don't care about his sister. And I know that he's been upset all week long because she's missing. She done got on a bus to we don't know where, and I'm talking to him about some fucking drinks. So this is going on for like 7 minutes. It's only a couple of more minutes to where we live. He's screaming. He's beating on the console. He hit up so hard he broke my rear view mirror off the thing. By this time, now, back in the day, I didn't care who I fought, female or male. I didn't start fights. I didn't get into gossip that start fights. I didn't do drama, and I still don't do drama. But this right here was a whole other different animal. It's a gorilla in my truck, literally beating on everything in the inside of the truck. Ripped my rear view mirror off. So I'm telling him to calm down. And I apologize if I said anything wrong. I apologize. This man, while I was driving, grabbed my face, thumb, index finger, or the middle finger, whichever one, on each side of my face while I'm driving. I'm shook the fuck up, of course. Grabbed my face, turned it towards me, digging his fingernails in my cheeks, screaming in my face, "Oh, you sorry now. You sorry now. No, you gonna be sorry. Now that you done got me all riled up, now you sorry. Now that you don't like the what you see, now you sorry." I'm driving down the street like 90 miles an hour, 35 mile an hour zone. I get to a light because he's screaming again and beating on stuff, telling me that I done caused him to lose his temper. When I get to a light, I jump out the car. He jumps in the driver's seat. And with the car, there's a gas station right there on the corner where I stopped at that light. And I ran to the gas station and was knocking on the window and telling the girl that he was after me because he had gotten that driver's seat, drove that truck right after me. And she wouldn't let me in. She wouldn't let me in. So she told me that there was the bathroom. She said, "The bathroom is right there. I'm gonna unlock the door for you. And as soon as you get in, it automatically locks and he won't be able to open it." So this guy, True pulled up on me, and there was a guy there, and he said, "You okay, ma'am? Everything okay?" True looked at him and said, "Mind your business, move on, everything is fine." And that male started his car back off and took off. By the time True was watching this man take off, I had already made the necessary steps to get into the bathroom because it wasn't that far from where he stopped me. I went into the bathroom, and like she said, the door automatically locked. He stood out there and he beat on that door and beat and screamed on that door. The clerk finally called the police. And the police came, deemed that we had both been drinking. However, that wasn't the case. I had two drinks that night. And if I was anywhere near inebriated, intoxicated, a little high, buzzed, whichever one you want to call it, that person that was in my passenger seat sobered me up very quickly. Very quickly. That was one of the first of many enraged events throughout the relationship. I think I mentioned I had never been that girl for anyone. I guess because I fought back in a different way and knew that anything I said or did very well or was promoted in, he hated. Made him even worse. And I guess in some crazy sort of way, I got joy out of him being so pissed at me elevating. That was a red flag in our marriage 5 months in that I definitely, definitely was in denial about. All I could see was the history, how long we've known each other, the chemistry and everything that came right back. I was foolish. I've never regretted being with him, marrying him. Evidently, it was something that God put together and was destined to happen. So, with me ignoring the red flag, it still to this day makes me wonder how I could get that deep. And I don't know if it has to do with strength or the lack thereof or what I thought was unconditional love. I think I justified it by saying, well, he did not hit me. He did not hit me because I had been abused physically before by my children's father. So maybe I justified it in that manner. Maybe I did. But the marriage continued. He apologized. I lied about the scratches on my face, just like a survivor, huh? Just like someone that's been physically abused. And as I write this down, the realization is there. It's like when you're getting abused at home, you know, physically, however. And someone asks you about it and you lie about it to protect that person that you love, that is supposed to be reciprocating that love. So no, I did not leave him there. And I kept going. His sister eventually was found about a week later. Some years later, we did find out that she caught a bus to where we were. She just didn't have his number or know how to get in touch with him. And that is one of the reasons why I mentioned that she may have struggled mentally, because she didn't have his information. She just knew he lived in that city. So she ended up home and everything became okay. 3 weeks later. 3 weeks later, something else arises. I did mention that my children accepted him and his son accepted me. Well, out of the blue, he tells me he has a daughter. I knew nothing of a daughter. I later learned that several things would be sprung on me. That's the way True moved. I found out things third party or last hand, which is the worst way for me to find out anything. So when he just so casually told me about this daughter, we were sitting in the park and we had been maybe now 6.5 months into our marriage. So when he told me this, I thought in my head, when are you going to see him for who he is? That's it for Chapter 7, Potties. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you staying on this journey of a journal. Stay tuned for the next episode. Episode 8 will be streaming soon. Talk soon, potties.